you probably know that we're in a drought, but I bet you didn't know that you can still apply for a right to use California's water. There's a system set up that decides who gets that water as the supply gets low. It's an order of priority that began more than a century ago. We sent KLW's Audrey Dilling to claim her place in line.
As the story goes, in the summer of 1901, San Francisco's mayor, James D. Phelan, hiked up to an oak tree near the north bank of the Tuolumne River in Yosemite's Hetch Hetchy Valley. And not to go all clickbait on you, but what he did next altered the life of every San Franciscan since. He nailed a piece of paper to that oak tree that said the water flowing by it belonged to the city of San Francisco. So if you've ever wondered why we get first dibs to water almost 200 miles away, it's because of a piece of paper nailed to a tree in 1901. And today, I intend to do the same thing.
Okay, into the canyon.
I'm at Glen Canyon Park in San Francisco, where you can find one of the city's few creeks.
I just noticed that you carried a hammer. That's kind of terrifying.
I've brought along KALW news reporter Emma Nobel because it's always better to have someone with you when you're doing something ridiculous. Now, if you're thinking, you're in San Francisco, you have no need to claim water. You're totally right. Phelan's piece of paper is why water comes out of my tap. But while I don't need a water right at this moment, anyone can apply for one, even after 4 years of drought. If I want to get in line for some of California's water, I can.
And describe what you're doing.
Yeah. So, well, I'm just going to grab the snail. I have my piece of paper, which says, claimed in the name of Audrey Dilling and Emma Nobel. I'm going to bend down here. And just like California settlers, I am going to consider this water source claimed.
Congratulations.
It feels pretty good.
Yeah.
After I staked my claim, I tried calling up the people in charge of California's water, just to make sure everything was cool.
Please listen to this message very carefully.
Turns out, they're very busy right now.
This phone number is receiving a high volume of calls, both from accredited media as well as concerned citizens that are calling the water board with ideas for water conservation.
Okay, so it's going to be a while before I figure out if my right is good, but I do have history on my side.
I'm Michael Hanneman. I'm a professor of environmental and resource economics. I do water and climate change and these other things for fun.
Hanneman is writing a book on California water rights and how the paper-to-tree system took hold.
Well, let me tell you a little bit more of the history.
So remember James Phelan and his tree? Well, when he posted his sign, he claimed an amount of water that might strike someone today as a very bizarre quantity. 10,000 miners' inches. A miner's inch is a unit of measure based on the amount of water that flows by a given point in a river per minute. Don't think about that too long. It starts to hurt after a while. The point is,
the first large-scale use of water in California was for mining.
Miners. When they showed up in California in 1849, they looked for gold in streams and rivers. And they posted notices near the places they were looking to say, hey, I was here first. Go find your gold somewhere else.
But then we moved away from the rivers to try and get at the source of the gold. And the technique was to take water, spray it under high pressure to wash away the hillside to get at the gold.
So where at first miners were just claiming the spot on a river where they were actually looking for gold, now they started claiming the water and moving it. They would still post a notice saying when they got there and how much water they were taking, per minute or whatever. Hanneman says this system actually worked pretty well. So well that when the next large-scale users showed up, cities and farmers, they just jumped on board with the same system. And this moment really matters, because it's where the problems start.
With gold, your motive is to discover gold. Most of the places you look at don't have gold. So basically, you're coming, you're searching. Most of the time, you don't find anything, and you move on.
The miners didn't claim their water forever. When the gold ran out, they pulled up their signs and moved on. That's not the same for farming.
You're interested in using this water on an ongoing basis for the next 100, 200, 300 years.
You don't move on. So suddenly we're talking about a whole lot more people needing a whole lot more water. And there was another problem. No one was really keeping track of those claims.
We have claims on sticks in the ground. And after, you know, 10 or 20 years, it's possible the piece of paper falls off. We don't have central records.
I just really want to emphasize that for decades, California's system of record keeping for water relied on people remembering that one time there was a sign next to a river somewhere. In 1914, the state tried to formalize things. They said everyone with pre-1914 rights was first in line for California's water. They had what's called senior water rights, and they still have them. Then the state started handing out new rights, first come, first served. Those new rights were called junior rights. But when it came to how much water was left to hand out, the state was guessing.
Nobody really knows the amount of water with the pre-1914 rights.
Hello, this is Ted.
Hi, Ted. Ted Grantham works with the U.S. Geological Survey, and he's done a lot of research on California's water rights at UC Davis.
It's long been known that the total volume of water that's been granted to the water rights system greatly exceeds natural supplies.
Grantham and a colleague wanted to figure out by how much. And not to go all clickbait on you again, but what they found was shocking. California has promised people 5 times more water than it actually has. And that's just for the post-1914 rights. Remember, we don't really know how many pre-1914 rights are out there, and those people have first dibs.
Okay, so how come if water is over-allocated in this way, why can somebody still get a water right today?
Well, at a statewide level, you see this this general pattern of over-allocation. For an individual river basin, there may actually be additional water available.
Let's go over that again. Essentially, what Grantham is saying is that each river has its own line of people who want water. Some lines are really long. Like on the Sacramento and San Joaquin rivers, which supply about 2/3 of the state, that water is claimed 10 times over. So don't bother getting in line, the state won't let you. But other lines aren't so long. Which brings me back to my original quest. Grantham says the shorter lines are in places like Sonoma and Mendocino County, where water use pressures are just starting to kick in.
If I was to go down there with a piece of paper and nail it to a tree with my name on it, would I have a right to that water?
You know, I don't believe so. I think the days of just planting your flag and claiming a right are over.
Gotcha. Bummer. Grantham says nowadays, you file an application with the state. Way less fun than I thought. And it turns out, way more time-consuming. The process can take a few years to even a couple decades. I guess I'm not going to get a water right in time for my deadline for this story. But that might not be such a loss, because having a water right is no guarantee of water. Last year, after 3 years of drought, the state told junior rights holders to stop taking water. There wasn't enough to satisfy all the claims. And now, even those with senior rights are struggling.
So this is kind of, Grantwood is like a Garden of Eden. We grow grapes, here are these muscat grapes. Those are olives for olive oil. Those are.
I'm at Frog Hollow Farm with Al Korchesny, or as he's known around here, Farmer Al. We're in Brentwood, out by the California Delta. This is where rights outnumber water by 10 times.
Those are over off in the distance. Those are our blood oranges that we harvest in February.
The farm is an explosion of color. Green pears, orange apricots, red tomatoes. It really is like Eden. Lucky for Farmer Al, he gets his water from an irrigation district with senior rights. But earlier this summer, the state did something it's done only once before. It started telling those senior rights holders to stop taking water.
Have you had to let any plants go due to limited supply?
No, it's like I say, the supply hasn't been limited. It's just been expensive.
When Farmer Al's irrigation district got cut off, it had to start buying water from another district, one with even more senior rights. So Farmer Al still has water, but it's a lot more expensive.
That's about $12,000 in irrigation. whereas before it was costing us about $1,500. It's onerous, and it's, you know, it's going to really bite into our ability to make a living here as farmers.
And it's making it hard for some residents, too. Not far from where Farmer Al lives is a suburb called Mountain House. They ran out of water, too, and had to scramble to buy some from a nearby district. They got enough to get through the summer, but it's not a good long-term solution. If the drought goes on, this situation is going to become more common. It already happened here in the Bay Area. East Bay Mud raised rates to buy extra water.
Would you be willing to take less to make sure that more people at least got some water?
That's like asking, should we not eat food? I mean, remember farms are what produce food.
Farmer Al's irrigation district is suing the state to get its right to take water back. Around California, other senior rights holders are planning to do the same. UC Berkeley scholar Michael Hanneman says lawsuits are really the only tool water rights holders can use to settle disputes. And he says they're a bad tool.
So suppose there are eight water users along a stream, but two of them happen to get into a dispute and sue one another, and the judge rules, let's say, in favor of one of the two parties. The two parties might be junior to all the other six parties, but the court doesn't know that and doesn't grant the other six parties any rights over the two who are litigating because they're not in the court.
Hanneman says this just leads to more disorder. But there's a place in California that's tried something different, down by the Kings River in the Sierras. Now get ready for this. It's pretty complicated.
There's a list.
Okay, it's actually not that complicated.
The list has the names of all the water users, the dates which give their seniority, and the amounts of water that attach to their right.
Hanneman says California needs to do what the Kings River rights holders did. Make a real list, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, of all water right holders in the state. Not the patchwork of incomplete information we have now. That way, if the water supply gets low, we know for sure who gets the water and who doesn't. Getting that list would take a lot of work, but Hanneman says that if we could get it, we might then consider going one step further and doing something like Australia did.
The Australian system would be we all have percentage rights. Some may have rights to a large percentage, others to a small percentage.
The legislature could decide that that's a more appropriate water right priority system.
Tom Howard is executive director of the State Water Resources Control Board in Sacramento. He says there's a lot to think about before overhauling the rights system, like the many people who have established businesses based on a set amount of water they expect to get. People like Farmer Al. But there are ways to make our current system better, like better oversight, putting more gauges on streams that measure water level more precisely, and making that accurate list of rights holders.
So you don't need any change in law in order to put these things in place, but you do need to dedicate the resources necessary to put them in place. And it's just that there hasn't been the will to do it.
At least not yet. Since I came all the way to Sacramento, there's one last stop I have to make.
Well, records rooms, as you know, are very exciting places.
About 20 floors below Tom Howard's office is the records room, the holy land for water rights.
So, would somebody like to show her the safe and everything? Oh, yeah. I do not have the combination.
Oh, I just got to remember it myself.
Records manager Matt Jay opens the safe and pulls out a folder.
That's the 49th application that was filed with the state of California.
Can we see what name is on that?
Let's see. Sometimes it's hard to find the actual applicant names. There we go. Alden P. White.
So that's from 1919?
Yes, July 3rd, 1919.
Alden P. White. Guess I should have gotten in line when you did. For Cross Currents, I'm Audrey Dilling.